for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2010 Labor Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday afternoon, September the 4th, 2010. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the afternoon teaching on a living sacrifice.
Indira said, a few times back, she says, I'm just going to quit planning and then the devil won't know I'm coming and he can't sabotage my plan. Amen. Well, just when we think we're full up, we just get more. Amen. We just keep coming and coming, and it just keeps getting better and better and gooder and gooder. And Sister Jerry McGee from Lindale, Texas, Abiding Life Ministries, is going to come and share the word of the Lord. She's like a walking Bible, I tell you. Jerry's got scripture coming out of her every time she opens her mouth. It's a blessing.
Hallelujah.
It's a blessing. The living word. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. All right, Sister Jerry, come on.
You know, you can bless your children. Years ago, the Lord showed me this scripture, that the word of God will not depart from my mouth or the mouth of my offspring or my offspring's offspring now and forever. And when you bless people with what you think they need, the grace of God is imparted to carry out what you bless. Praise the Lord. After 20 years of a homosexual son, I tell you, I have kids that are walking with the Lord now. No more heathens. Praise the Lord. He came to the Lord, and I thank the Lord for him, because I would have never... There was times when I wanted to let the sun go down on my anger, and God said, if you regard an iniquity in your heart, I won't hear your prayers. And I needed my prayers answered. Don't you? How many of you love Jesus? How many of you want to please Jesus more than you want to do anything? Well, this message is for you. This message really changed my life a few weeks ago, and I trust that God's going to use it to change your life. I received a new perspective about denying myself and taking up my cross and following the Lord. So, Lord, we just ask you to bless your children. Why don't you put your hands on your ears? Lord, bless my ears to hear. Bless my eyes to see. Bless my heart to understand, so that I can turn and be healed. Lord, I want ears to hear what your spirit has to say to me. Even if it comes out of Jerry a different way, I want you to stick it in my heart your way. In Jesus' name. Lord, thank you that I've been raised to sit with you in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. I take my seat in the heavenly places, the Kratos power, the dunamis power, the exousia power, and the keys you've given me to the kingdom to bind and loose. I submit myself to you, and Lord, I resist the devil, and he has to flee. I break his power over my life, my children, my possessions, my job, my businesses, my relationships, and my finances. And I command you to let me and every person in this meeting go. You will not block the truth that sets me free. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And Lord, we just praise you that you said that you will make my words like goads, like well-driven nails given by you, the shepherd. And so, Lord, I want to be a conduit from your throne. Father, I want each person in this room to receive the revelation that you gave me. God, it's the truth that makes us free in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Lord. We praise you, praise you, praise you. Lord, if you don't take these words and anoint them, it'll just be a bunch of nothing, a bunch of words. But God, if you anoint it, I can say more than I could normally say. And if you anoint ears, they could hear more than they could humanly hear. So we thank you for what you're going to do, Lord. And I need to get this out of the way because I already got a microphone on. One day I was preaching when I got ready, when I used to pastor a church, and I was getting dressed, and I thought, you know, this dress feels funny. This doesn't feel right. When I got to church, somebody said, hey, do you know you had your dress on backwards? Anyway, I've had a lot of experiences like that. One night I went to church, and I had two different kinds of shoes on. And we were going to a ball game or something. My daughter-in-law went, And my son said, oh, Mom, people will pay attention to it. So I went to the ball game with two different kinds of shoes on. And nobody noticed. And if they did, they were nice and they didn't say anything. Praise the Lord. Well, this message is called a living sacrifice. And for us to be a living sacrifice, our flesh has to die. Now, that doesn't mean we go out and commit suicide. What it means is that you choose his way over your way, his attitudes over your attitudes, his word over your word, his plan over your plan. It means that you give up your agenda for his agenda. Amen?
Amen.
And a living sacrifice. What is the flesh? Flesh is the earthly part of man representing its lust and desires. It is that part of us which is inclined to sin. In the Greek, it is human nature with its frailties and passions. It is the earthly nature of man apart from divine influence. And therefore, it's prone to sin and it's opposed to God. Accordingly, it includes whatever in the soul that is weak, low, debased, tending to ungodliness and vice. The flesh signifies the entire nature of man, his sense and reason without the Holy Spirit. And in Galatians 5:17, it says the flesh is opposed to the Spirit and that we cannot do the things that we please. You know, we've received a lie today in the church that because we're saved by grace, we can just do any old thing we want to, and that obedience is legalism. It's just the opposite. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and that is legalism. Legalism is when you're trying to do it by your own efforts versus abiding in Christ and getting on the potter's wheel and letting the life of Christ come through. And so when we're living in sin or after the flesh, we're saying, I renounce the God who made me and I disallow his rights to govern me. I care not what he says to me, what commandments he's given me, or how he expostulates, meaning how he protests or earnestly reasons with me. It's saying that I prefer self-indulgence to his approval, and I am indifferent to all he's done to and for me. His blessings and gifts move me not. I'm going to be Lord of myself. And now I don't believe that you can, a person that makes Jesus Lord, we're going to fail and we're going to sin, but we're going to quit sinning. And I don't believe that a disobedient person that says he believes in God, that he believes in Jesus, is going to have eternal life. Because it's only disciples that will inherit the kingdom of God. And there's lots of scriptures that I could give for that. But carnal Christians are just people that believe Jesus with their head, but they've never had a born-again experience. When a man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. He's not perfect. He's going to sin. But his heart is to please God. And there's a difference. And about 90% of church members, Howard Pittman says, are lost. They're believers in their head and not in their heart. Leonard Ravenhill says only 2% of church members are saved. And I believe that because today a person will receive Jesus and they're never taught that they have to die to their flesh. They're never taught to confess their sin. They're not taught the Word of God. And you know what? God is going to hold preachers, teachers, prophets, he's going to hold us accountable. Now, Romans 12:1 says, present your body to God as a living sacrifice. And then it says, and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So when I present my body to God as a living sacrifice, I am transformed and my mind is renewed. And then it says that offering God that perfect and acceptable. Somebody don't want to quote that. Romans 12:1. It says, I urge you therefore, brethren, to present your bodies to God as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God as your reasonable service of worship. So when I do that, that's an act of worship. What if I'm trying to worship God and I'm not presenting my body to God as a living sacrifice? The Bible says the sacrifices of the wicked are an abomination, and it's wicked not to forgive even. We were sharing earlier, to forgive doesn't mean I have to want to. It doesn't mean I have to think it's right. It doesn't mean I have to really even think it's fair. But it's a choice, just like I choose to take a bath. I choose to forgive. It's not an emotion. It's a choice. And can I tell you that when I choose to forgive, I'm making a sacrifice to God? Because my flesh wants to be unforgiving and bitter and revengeful. But Jesus said that you won't be forgiven if you don't forgive. And I need forgiveness. I don't know about you. I want to be forgiven. And because I've been born again, I don't want to obey because I'm thinking God's going to kill me. I want to obey because I want to please Him. And if you've been born again, you want to please Him. Now, if I talk about being born again and you think, well, do you mean did I accept the Lord? You don't really understand what I'm saying. Do you mean that I've received Jesus? You don't really understand. But when you've been born again, you can't explain born again, but you know what I'm talking about. Those of you who are listening who've had a heart transformation, you know what it means to be born again. It's when the old things pass away and behold, all things become new. I accepted the Lord in 1959 at a Billy Graham crusade, or 58, and I kept cussing, I kept telling dirty jokes, I kept smoking. My life never changed. 5 years later, I was born again. And by reading the Word of God, trying to help my sister, I was reading the Word of God to try to find answers for her problems. And all of a sudden, I thought everything about me's changed. And I was in the kitchen facing this direction, I can tell you, in Lavernia, Texas, and a curse word came out of my mouth. And I said, God, I didn't even know I wasn't a church member. I didn't know what it meant to confess your sins. But I said, God, that doesn't sound like anything that should come out of a Christian's mouth. And God delivered me that day from profanity. Because what's in your heart, and I tell people that use bad language, what's in your heart comes out your mouth. You can't hide it. And if you're saying bad words, that's what's down in your heart. Things have been planted down in your heart. And so it says, and this is just your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is what the will of God is, which is good and acceptable and perfect. And so, what does it mean to offer up your body to God as a living sacrifice? Well, it means to give up your life that you might find it. You know, it says in John 12:24, if you give up your life, you'll find it. You hold on to your life and you'll lose it. We've been holding on to our lives and haven't even realized how we've been holding on to our lives. When God showed me this, I was totally submitted to Him. Jesus was Lord. I could not think of one thing that I had not confessed or repented of. And He gave me this revelation. And the man that taught this message was an African missionary that came to our church just recently and just said a few words. And I'm telling you, the Spirit of God just took that and He's developed a message from it because it's coming from my heart. It changed me, and I know it's going to change you because God gave it, not because I'm teaching it. Every time you say no to your flesh and yes to God, you're offering God a sacrifice. And David said in 1 Samuel 24:24, I'll not offer anything to God that doesn't cost me something. Didn't he say that? It means to choose His way over your way, His will over your will, His plan over your plan, His agenda over your agenda, His purpose over your purpose, and that you offer to Him everything He's given you, you offer it up to Him as a sacrifice. Your mates, your children, your life, your body, your finances, your house, your land, your possessions, your job, your finances, and your food. Now, all of us have something to sacrifice. With me, the food thing. I mean, not that I didn't have to sacrifice other things. But I always thought that if I went on a, if I deprived myself of food, I was doing it for me. I never realized it, that I was, that it would be a sacrifice to God. I knew about walking in the Spirit, but I really didn't know about it. I thought I did. But, you know, with every religion that worships false gods, like in Africa, for example, they'll cook all day long for their false god, and they'll give him flowers and sacrifice whatever, and they expect him to come through for them. And just recently, I was in a nail place. It was an Oriental nail place. And the lady that normally does my nails was not there, so it was. I went down the street to this Oriental place, and there was a big fat. I was sitting waiting. There's this big fat Buddha sitting there, and somebody's hot dog was right underneath that, underneath that Buddha, and somebody's Coke was there, and there was flowers. You see, our God is the only one that we've received alive, that because we're saved by grace and Jesus did it all, and praise God He did, that we don't have to sacrifice anymore. When Jesus said, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Is that what He said? And it's only in Christianity that we believe this lie. And over, I can give you so many scriptures that says, arm yourself with the same purpose, that if this Christ suffered in the flesh, you suffer in the flesh. For in suffering, sin loses its power over you. And guess what? Your mind is transformed and renewed because you've presented your body to God as a living sacrifice. And it's only as we give up our life that the resurrected life of the Lord Jesus comes through. Paul said he's always tearing about in his body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be manifested in his mortal flesh, meaning made actual. So when I get on God's altar, you know, in the Old Testament, God wouldn't take a lame, blind, defective sacrifice. Only a perfect sacrifice. Well, if we're to present our bodies to God as a living sacrifice, well, He won't take a defective sacrifice, so I've got a problem. And you do too. We're defective. But when we yield our flesh, give up our life to God, get on His altar of submission to His Lordship, then the blood that's spit out is the precious blood of Jesus that was shed at Calvary. You're imperfect, but Jesus was the perfect sacrifice. It was perfect blood, but you've got to get on the altar. Amen? And I was looking up words in the Old Testament about sacrificing. The children of Israel sacrificed every time they did so. I mean, they were constantly making sacrifices. And the word sacrifice means slaughter. And wherever there was a slaughter, there was a sacrifice, there was blood, and there was a death. And that's a picture of us being a living sacrifice. We're alive, but we've got to be dead. Go to 2 Corinthians 4, please. Verse 8, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. Paul said, "We are afflicted on every side but not crushed, perplexed but not despairing, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body." In other words, that means the life of Jesus will be exposed to view. And there will be the fruit of His character and nature, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. You can't ever be love. You can't ever be self-control. You can't ever be peace. You can't ever be faith. That's His personality. You know, when I'm alive to Jerry McGee, I'm not a very nice person. And when you're alive to you, you're not very nice. You know when your flesh gets reared up and you get angry and you start spewing off and you get your buttons pushed and your parade rained on? See, God says we have to die. We don't go commit suicide and we're not physically dying, but we have to choose against our way. And when we do, when we get on the altar of God's sacrifice, then His life comes through and we have self-control. We have love, we have joy, we have peace, we have long-suffering, we have gentleness, we have goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. That's His character and His personality. Now the Scripture says if you live after the flesh, you'll die, but if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For sons of God are led by the Spirit of God, for we have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but we have received the Spirit whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. So we're either letting the Spirit of God lead us, walking in the Spirit, under His lordship, under His control, putting to death the deeds of the flesh, or we have a yoke of slavery that causes our life to be dominated by fear. Instead of bowing down to the Lord Jesus, yes, Lord, I'm going, yes, fear, yes, yes. And I, instead of moving according to the Holy Spirit, I'm letting the spirit of fear direct me. When I don't put to death the deeds of my body. Because faith is a fruit of the Spirit. So it's only as we give up our life that the resurrected life of the Lord Jesus can come through. Verse 12 says, so death works in me, but life in you. And that's why, you know, I don't know where many of y'all worship, but if you're sitting under a pastor that's living after the flesh, then death is working in you. Paul says, I always carry about in my body the dying of Jesus. In other words, I die to the flesh. That the life of Jesus might come through my life, he says, so death works in me and life in you. If life is working in me and I'm teaching according to the flesh, I'm putting death on you. Luke 6:40 says, after a man is fully trained, he becomes like his teacher. So make sure there's not a spirit of adultery and pornography and all of that over the congregation. Now, I don't mean you're going to ever find a perfect person. I'm not talking about perfect. I'm talking about submitted to His Lordship. You know, I'm submitted right now. Jesus is Lord of my life. I don't know of anything I haven't repented of. But you know what? God looks down and He sees so many things about me that need to be fixed in your life too. I'm talking about sit under a shepherd that is as yielded as he knows how to be and is teaching you a message of the cross. You know, Derek Prince said, the cross, when Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Derek Prince says, your cross is any place your will crosses God's will. It's not your mother, it's not your mother-in-law, it's not the turkey you live with, it's not your daughter-in-law, it's not your son-in-law, it's not your boss. It's any place your life crosses the will of God. We have to take up the cross and follow Him. So for me to be a living sacrifice, it means I'm willing for my flesh to die. And as I shared recently this message of a living sacrifice, in my mind I always thought, believed a lie, that the food thing had to do with me wanting to be my image of what I thought I ought to look like, and it was a selfish thing. I never saw it as a food thing. And it really has helped me now because, believe it or not, I've lost 5 pounds, over 5 pounds. That's a miracle in 2 weeks. I mean, I look back and I probably hadn't lost that in 20 years. I mean, in the past, I'd be a person that would diet, get on the scales and weigh the same thing and get so discouraged I want to give up and quit. And that's what I did for 20 years. I used to diet all, boy, I used to do this and, boy, keep my nose to the grindstone, but it was doing it for me. And it took 20 years for me to get to the place where, you know, I wanted to be slimmer, but, you know, it was okay. But it's a miracle because now if I want to eat something that I think God doesn't want me to eat, I say, Lord, this is my sacrifice. And I want to ask you today, what is the thing that you need to sacrifice? Is it pornography? Not that God wants that nasty pornography. But God wants your flesh, and that's operate. That's your flesh life. Is it alcohol? Is it drugs? Is it profanity? Is it sleeping around? You know, 60% of church members think nothing of shacking up. When God says no adulterer, no liar, no thief, no murderer, no fornicator, no effeminate, no homosexual, will enter the kingdom of heaven, period. Don't be deceived. The unrighteous won't get there. We've all been some of those things, but we've got to stop doing things that we know God does not want us to do. And that's a sacrifice. It transformed me when I saw that God wanted my food. And it wasn't a selfish thing for me. And there's things that He's wanting in your life that you've been holding back. You've got to discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. I tell you, it's made me feel so happy and so good. For years I prayed, Lord, I want to live a fasted life. Well, it's really a fasted life to do what God tells you to do and to sacrifice those things that He wants you to sacrifice. And you know, God says, go to Jeremiah 15, in verse 19, God says, therefore, thus says the Lord, if you return to me, I'll restore you. That's repent. And if you extract the precious from the worthless, or the holy from the profane, I think King James says, you'll become my spokesman. They, for their part, may turn to you, but as for you, you must not turn to them. In other words, you've got to quit compromising. And I like what Carla says, quit being nice to the devil. And we have to separate the holy from the profane in our homes, in our jobs, in our businesses, in our lives, in everything we do if we want to be God's spokesman. That kind of narrows out and omits a whole bunch of false prophets, preachers, and teachers, doesn't it? I mean, all these cute little stories and all this stuff. Hey, God wants us to teach His Word and separate the holy from the profane. And can I tell you, when you do that, it's not going to be popular. You may lose your husband, your wife, your children, your mates, your marriage, your home, your money, your job. And yes, you might even, as Brother was talking about, you might even lose your own physical life to follow Jesus. He said that a servant is not above the master. If he was persecuted, you'll be persecuted. Because there's a narrow way that leads to eternal life, and few there be that find it. Now, there's teachings out there that there's going to be a great mass revival where two-thirds of the world is going to be saved. They're going to be worshiping the beast, not Jesus. Because Jesus said there's a narrow way that leads to eternal life, and few there be that find it. And so, in whatever area you're not sacrificing to God, you're sacrificing to something else. Without realizing it, I've been sacrificing to food a whole bunch of years. Some of you have been sacrificing to alcohol or just being mean or pornography or perversion. Those things have got to stop if we're to follow Jesus. And we're living in days, and I think this has been shared by just about everybody that's taught, that we're living in days that if we're not willing to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Him, there's no hope. And Brother here is going to talk tonight about, Speed is going to talk tonight about the One World Order. It's right around the corner. Recently, I don't listen to emails anymore, but this one was from a reliable source. This was like a news source. Normally I say that's Goliath and delete it. Because Goliath is roaring through the internet and roaring through the news, threatening us every day what he's going to do to us. But Arizona has been, in the courts with this immigration thing, Obama has appealed Arizona's case to the United Nations. So that means he's turned Arizona over to the United Nations. And what does that mean, United Nations troops? But we're living in days where there's not going to be no compromise. It's going to separate the men from the boys. Those that want to walk with God and those that want to play around with God. And we better stop it. And can I tell you that even if you obey Him, it's all by His grace.
It's like when you give up your life, the power of God comes through your life to give you the power to overcome. And the way to explain that is, when an airplane takes off, it sounds like every screw in that plane is fixing to fly out. And it's like the law of gravity is pulling that plane down. But when that plane reaches another level, another law takes over, the law of aerodynamics, and pulls the plane up. And so when we're struggling to sacrifice, to give up those things God wants us to give up, it's like the gravity's pulling us down. But the minute you choose another law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus takes you above it, and you don't even want your idol anymore. Yay! So we have to separate the holy from the profane. You know, in Ezekiel 44, it talks about two kinds of priests. It talks about the kind of priest that tickles people's ears, and God leaves them in because they want the ear-tickling messages, and ministers their idols before their faces. But it goes on to say, but the sons of Zadok, they will minister to me, and they will separate the holy from the profane. And we have to do that, and it's not popular, and it could be really lonely. I don't know who said this. I think I heard it here at Lake Hamilton. But the narrow way, a lot of times, is single file. Maybe it was Howard Pittman that said that. I don't know. But you know what? That song, though none go with me, yet I will follow, that means that we have to quit compromising. We have to quit being double-minded. The Bible says the double-minded man will receive nothing from God. And so whatever your thing is, or things, it could be more than one thing. It could be lots of things. But I'm telling you, when you start sacrificing those things for God, then the demons are going to leave. And you're going to have, even though in the midst of trials and tribulations, you're going to have happiness and joy, even if you have to walk alone. So the scripture says, go to Matthew 19. 29, Matthew 19, and then verse 29. The Lord gave me this in 1983. My son, who had lived a homosexual lifestyle, and you, some of you might think I'm mean, and I want to say, if you're listening and you're a homosexual, I'm not condemning homosexuals. That's a sin, just like adultery and fornication and gluttony and any sin of our flesh is a sin, and there's not one greater than the other. But we have to obey the Word of God. But my son had lived that lifestyle, had been baptized 3 times in the church. And finally, in my frustration, I don't know if God led me to do this or if it was my flesh that did it. But I turned him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that his soul might be saved. And he's in heaven today. And God gave me this scripture. And everyone who has left houses, our brothers, our sisters, our father, our mother, our children, our wives, our husbands, our farms, for my sake, shall receive many times over and shall inherit eternal life. And I think there's one place it says, with persecution. Because when you start getting that radical, people scatter. It's kind of like if you ever lifted up a board that had bugs under it, the minute the light hit it, they scattered. Because men love darkness. They hate the light and they love darkness. And so whatever your thing is, if you can just remember to say, Lord, I sacrifice this to you. It helped me. Because you see, I love Jesus so much. I want to please God. And I always thought it was pleasing me. And that was kind of twisted and tried to mess up. And so whatever you're struggling with, then just give it to God as a sacrifice. You lose your friends, a lot of your friends and family members. Jesus said, go to Matthew chapter 10, Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father and daughter, against her mother and daughter-in-law, against her mother-in-law. And a lot of times, These family members are just just a mirror of what God wants to change in you. Difficult people are mirroring what you've long forgotten, judgments you've made on your mother and father. I tell you, when that hit me, I thought, I need to quit griping about what God gave me and start thanking him that he used that turkey, those turkeys, and I'm in a turkey too, to show me myself for my purification, because without sanctification, no man will see God. That's what the Word says. And it takes a sacrifice for us to live as Christ and die as gain. Galatians 3:30 says, I am crucified with Christ. This is what it means. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, I die daily. He said, I buffet my body and make it my slave. Now that used to bother me, that scripture. It probably bothers some of you. Buffet my body and make it my slave when I want the strawberry shortcake. Some of you have a perverted sex appetite. You've got to give it up. And if you're married, can I tell you, God puts two people together, one that's oversexed and one that's undersexed, to balance the ones, to balance them out. I'm serious. If you're an oversexed man or an oversexed woman, you're going to get a frigid mate, because God says you'll have no other gods before him. That's right. Go to Colossians chapter 3, please. Now, you know what I'm saying's right. You know that's right. Colossians, where is it? Colossians 3, verse 1. Now, where do we ever get it that we don't have to give God a sacrifice? Well, listen to this. If then you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things that are above, when Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things of this earth. Now, you have to have a job and all that, so it's not telling you not to work. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I don't know about you, but I want to be hidden when the one world order comes. Right? God says we're hidden. He dwells in the secret place of the Most High God, will abide under the shadow and protection of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, you're my refuge, my fortress, my God, in whom I take refuge. I'll not be afraid of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or the arrow that flies by day. 1,000 will fall at my side, 10,000 in my right hand, but it'll not come near me. I'll only look on with my eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Glory to God. If my ways please the Lord, it makes even my enemies to be at peace with me. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 35 says there's a highway of holiness, and that no fool, lion, or sinner can get on it, and that means the one world order can't get on it. If I walk the way of wisdom, does that mean I'm never going to have a problem? No, but it means God will be with you, and he's ordered your steps, and he'll give you the grace to go through whatever you have to go through. And I pray to God we don't have to go through anything, but I pray that that may not be true. It says, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is on account of these things that the wrath of God will come. And in them you also once walked when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside, anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you also laid aside the old self with its evil practices, but have put on the new self, who is being renewed to all true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Verse 12. And so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, you also forgive them. It takes a sacrifice for you to do that. It takes a sacrifice for you to love when you want to hate. It takes a sacrifice for you to forgive when you want to be unforgiving. It takes a sacrifice to pray when you want to sleep. It takes a sacrifice to turn off the TV and read the Bible when you want to watch TV. It takes a sacrifice to produce fruit. John 12:24 says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone, but if it dies, it produces much fruit. And the fruit is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And God cuts down every tree. Psalms 1 says you're a tree. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or sit in the seat of scorners. He'll be like a tree planted along a riverbank, always bearing luscious fruit each season without fail, and his leaf will never wither, and everything he does will prosper. That's the Living Bible translation. It takes a sacrifice to give up your life so that the resurrected life of the Lord Jesus can come through. It takes a sacrifice to put to death the old man and put on the new. It takes a sacrifice to lay down your life for others and walk in love. It takes a sacrifice for you to give to help them meet the needs of people rather than hoard it to yourself. It takes a sacrifice for you to speak up when the Holy Spirit prompts you to speak up when you want to cower in fear. It takes a sacrifice, if you're like me, to keep your mouth shut when your flesh wants to speak. Some people have to die to their flesh to speak, and others have to die to their flesh to shut up. It takes a sacrifice to let go of your life rather than hold on to it. It takes a sacrifice to quit looking at perversion. It takes a sacrifice for you to quit being perverted. It takes a sacrifice for you to quit cussing and let go of your drugs and your alcohol. It takes a sacrifice for you to find out why you're depressed rather than go take antidepressants and go to, as Brother Speed said, a psychiatrist. God says, see to it no one takes you captive by the philosophies of the world, by the elemental principles of the world, rather than Christ. You actually are taken captive by the psychologists. And I know there's some good people that are into it, but they're mixed up in error. It's like you put a little bit of poison in that bottle of pure water, and it's still poison. Go into the world. It takes a sacrifice to be willing to die if we got a diagnosis that we're going to die, it takes a sacrifice for me not to go to the world for answers and put a Band-Aid on my spiritual problem. It takes a sacrifice to give up my drugs, legal or illegal. I'm not telling you to quit your drugs. I'm telling you the more deliverance you get, the more repentance you get, you won't need it. I wouldn't dare tell you go quit everything, but let me tell you, get deliverance and you'll need it less and less. The number one killer of people in this country is heart attacks. Number two is cancer. Number three and four are prescription drugs and medical mistakes. And if I'm on all kinds of medication, I'm got physical problems that are side effects from the medication. If you read that little piece of paper that's in there, you have to be crazy to take that stuff. And forgive me if you're taking it. I'm not saying that, but I mean, some of the commercials on TV, I can't believe some of those commercials. And you know which ones I'm talking about. Oh, God. Restless, there's something there that causes restless leg syndrome. Whatever you take for restless leg syndrome causes you to, you could have compulsive gambling. I'm serious. You listen to those commercials. I mean, here we're trying to get sanctified, right? I want to get sanctified. That stuff drags you down. And if every drug has a side effect, you can't get healed till you quit this. In other words, until God delivers you from the medication, you've got the side effects of what you're taking. And you can get deliverance all day long, but you've got to stop what you're doing. There's so many people say, you know, my feet hurt and they weigh 400 pounds. Your feet hurt because you weigh 400 pounds. And I'm not making fun. Listen, that's been my lifelong struggle, so I'm pleased. But I know people that go to the doctor because they can't breathe and they weigh 400 pounds. And it's because, what is the word when you can't breathe? It's They have to have oxygen. No, it's simpler than that. No. No. Those are more serious things. It's, Lord, what is that word? And I'm not, please, no. If you judge, you become just like who you're judged. So I don't want any of this, okay? I've got enough problems of my own. But I'm telling you the truth. And you know, Carl and I have talked about this before. If I'm a minister of the gospel and I don't tell you the truth, I might as well get out of the ministry because I'm doing it for free anyway. I mean, I might as well do a job that makes money. Right? So I have a kennel. I sell little puppies and that's how I pay the bills. I don't make my life from the gospel. I told somebody the other day, my ministry, if I had a salary set for each year and I haven't got a salary for 20 years, the ministry owes me about $500,000 if I want to say. But I, you know what? I want to do it because I love the Lord. I want to help people, and I don't have that as a motive. I'm convinced that a lot of these big ministries are bought out by the One World Order. As I've been investigating and looking behind the scenes, because of the perverted gospel. I'll tell you, there's a man named Andrew Strom. He was coming into this country from New Zealand, and he was stepping on the toes of the false prophets. I mean, he was exposing them right and left. But when he had all these meetings scheduled here for the United States, I just got an email from him that said when he was trying to come into the United States, they said no. You know why? Because the One World Order is behind those false prophets. You start don't take my word for it. Start investigating what they're into. Knights of Malta, Knights Templar, Kabbalah, witchcraft. But they're anointed. They're shacking up, but they're anointed. God help us. And because we don't know the word, people buy everything they say. I got rebuked the other day by a man because I called one of them a demonic nutcase. You shouldn't call anointed people demonic nutcase. I said, if I thought they were anointed by God, I would fear God too much to say that. But if somebody is standing up here drunk and going like this for an hour and they don't have anything to say but, whoa, not even use the word of God, you tell me that's revival? That is not. That is a curse that God sends on spiritual adultery against His bridegroom Jesus. It takes a sacrifice to let go of my children, my mate, my marriage, my finances, my jobs, my income, my houses, my lands. It takes a sacrifice for me to stand for righteousness when I want to cower in fear. It takes a sacrifice to separate the holy from the profane. It takes a sacrifice to praise God when I want to moan, groan, and complain. Somebody sent me an email the other day that said, birds sing not because they have answers. They sing because they have a song in their heart. I love that. God put a song in our heart. We don't have to have the answers. It takes a sacrifice to be grateful when you want to be ungrateful. Wouldn't you hate to lose everything you have, and it's a possibility, and think, I wish I'd have been contented and happy with what I had. I don't want to live that way. When I bless my food, I say, Lord, I do not take this food for granted. I thank you that for another day of wonderful food here in America. I thank God, Lord, for everything I have. If we're not grateful now, one of these days we could have it taken away and we'll have great regret. I don't want to live my life in such a way that I have regret. Lord, help us live our life in such a way that on the day we die, we'll have no regrets. And it takes a sacrifice to find out what God's trying to teach you when difficult people are doing what they do. I've been praying for myself lately that when I have a difficult person in my life, that I won't even think anything about that difficult person, like, oh, I can't believe they're that way. I'll say, okay, God, what are you trying to show me? It makes your life a lot more peaceful because you can accept, hey, this is God's way of training you. It takes a sacrifice to put to death the deeds of the flesh. It takes a sacrifice to say to my idols, be gone. and you cannot do it without suffering. But the Word says in Romans 6:7 that in suffering sin loses its power. In 1 Peter 4:1 it says, arm yourself with the same purpose as Christ suffered in the flesh, so you suffer in the flesh, for in suffering sin loses its power. When you want the Lord showed me this one day, and it's been like a process of many years of God teaching me, because I kept saying, one of these days I'm going to get the victory. For all my life, this has been a struggle in my life. But one day I made me some fajitas, and I wanted three, and the Lord said just two. Well, my flesh suffered, and when I chose to obey God, I didn't even want the third one. But if I'd have eaten more, then I'd have wanted six or seven. I took my, and I've shared this many times, but some of you knew, I took my grandson to Chili's and bought him a chocolate molten, and the Lord let me only have three pieces. How many have had a chocolate molten in Chili's? Oh, you missing a dessert. Oh, it's so good. And my grandson, I said, the Lord told me I could have two bites of his chocolate molten. And so I had my two bites, and I said, oh, David, my flesh is suffering so bad. I want that. I want more. And he said, Grandmother, if I wasn't eating this, my flesh would be suffering. I had a PowerPoint, but my computer is at the shop. But it was a picture of a person laying on an altar, offering himself as a living sacrifice, and then it showed the life, the resurrected life of the Lord coming through to take over. But you can get the picture. You be a sacrifice, and the living Lord Jesus will come through and make himself visible to people, because it'll be his character nature coming through. It's not going through the motions either. You know, like a good example of two people that made a sacrifice that went through the motions was Cain and Abel. Abel offered God exactly what he told him, but Cain tried to do what he wanted to do. And they were offering sacrifices. And that really is why God says that obedience is better than sacrifice. He wants us to obey, which is the sacrifice. Proverbs 21:3 says, to do justice and judgment is more acceptable to God than sacrifice. And I was reading this, and I haven't had time to study it out, but Jeremiah 33:11, God says that those who bring a sacrifice of praise into the house will turn the captivity of the land. The voice of joy, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I'll cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord. Naaman, after he was healed of leprosy, in 2 Kings 5:17, and Naaman said, shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant two mules burden of earth? For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offerings nor sacrifice unto other gods, but to the Lord. God told Solomon his house would be a house of sacrifice. 2 Chronicles 7:12. David was chosen as king to replace Saul in 1 Samuel 16:3 after they made a sacrifice. And called Jesse to the sacrifice, and I'll show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me whom I name unto thee. And then there was a sacrifice when Solomon dedicated the house of the Lord. They had a sacrifice. In Judges 20, and I'm just going to tell you what it says, remember when the Benjamites, somebody from the tribe of Benjamin killed the concubine, and then the man who had the concubine cut her into pieces, and then the sons of Israel got angry. And so they go against the sons of Benjamin. But they go to the Lord, and basically they're telling the Lord what they're going to do. And God says, go up. And they lost 22,000 men. And then they come back to the Lord, and they're angry, and they're telling the Lord what to do. And they go up, and they lost 18, and God said, go up. They lost 18,000 men. But it was only when they prayed and fasted all day and offered God sacrifices and peace offerings, God said, go up, the battle's yours. And so here we're wanting God to do things for us, but we're not willing to offer a sacrifice.
The sacrifice of our life. And sacrificing for God is protection. Psalms 50, verse 2, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous around him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. He says, gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant to me by sacrifice. And so when God comes as this consuming fire, he's going to gather his saints that are willing to be in covenant by sacrifice. That's encouraging. It encourages me in the day that I'm living in when God says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And like he mentioned last night about the concentration camps. I pray to God we never have to go to a concentration camp. But you know what? If my steps are ordered and I get put in a concentration camp, that can give me confidence that I am there because I'm on God's mission. And that encourages me. And I pray to God it never happens, and I'm going to be doing warfare. And we have a prayer meeting every Thursday from 10 to 12, and we're doing warfare against blessing everybody in the world that God will bring them to repentance. Psalms 116 says, verse 17, I'll offer to thee a sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Psalms 50:23 says, whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him that orders his conversation or his behavior aright, I'll show him my salvation. And some reasons why we have to offer ourselves up to God as a living sacrifice is so that we can produce fruit. Without a death, there's no fruit. You know, when you plant a grain of corn in the dirt, that corn has to give its life over to the soil before life in that corn springs up to produce a plant. And so for us to produce fruit, we have to be like that grain of wheat, fall to the ground and die, or just die our flesh so that we can produce fruit. If we don't bear fruit, it says that we'll be cut off as a branch. And the tree cutters are demons. We'll reap corruption. If we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap corruption. Sow to the Spirit, and we reap life eternal. Go to Jeremiah 17, please. I'm going to trust today that lives are going to be different. My life is different. How many want your life different? We're tired of the defeat, tired of the failure, tired of not living in victory and not overcoming. Jeremiah 17, 5, it says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his arm, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. You see, every time that we operate in the flesh, our heart turns away from the Lord to our sacrifice, what we're sacrificing to, rather than make it a sacrifice to God. For he'll be like a bush in the desert and will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony wastes in the wilderness. That's if we live in the flesh. A land of salt without inhabitants. Now this is a word for today. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is in the Lord, for he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by the stream and will not fear when heat comes, and he's coming. But its leaf will be green and it will not be anxious in a year of drought nor cease to yield fruit. That will prosper even in the year of drought. And then, of course, whenever we die to our flesh, we're released from the law, and addictions are broken. It says in Romans 7, for while we're in the flesh, the sinful passions which are aroused by the law
were at work in the members of our body to bear fruit for death. And it says that when we're in the flesh, we crave. But when we choose to die to our flesh, you only suffer like the law of gravity in that plane till you choose God's way. The suffering is in the choosing. After you choose God's way, He takes you up and you don't even want that thing. But we have to be willing to suffer. I don't know about you, but I grew up and there was no suffering in my life as a child. I mean, mother and daddy were not perfect, but I had a happy childhood. I didn't suffer growing up. But I suffered plenty in the last years of God having to discipline me. And so, those of you who've had to suffer a lot growing up, God wants to set you free. And He has to break us. You know, until we're broken, we're like a wild stallion that's never been ridden. We're of no use to the rider. God's got to break us. A broken and contrite heart He will not despise. And I thank God for brokenness. I thank God for everything I've gone through. I've gone through divorce. I've gone through husbands leaving. I've gone through losing parents, losing a husband. I've gone through a son living a homosexual lifestyle, dying when he was 25. And so I know what it means to be broken, and God is still breaking me, and I thank God for it. And God works everything to all this stuff that you go through, He wants to use it to conform you into His image. I'm not conformed yet, but I'm in the process just like you are. And He wants to conform us into the image of Christ. And we can choose to get better or we can choose to get bitter. And bitterness is like drinking poison waiting for someone else to die. God says if we walk by the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:18 says, but if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. And if you're not being led by the Spirit and your life is living after the flesh, then the Scripture says you'll die in Romans 8:15. And then when we don't walk in the Spirit and we don't die to the flesh, we have no confidence before God. God says in 1 John 3:21, if your conscience is clear, you have confidence before God. And that gives you faith. Not only does it mean faith and trust in God, it means freedom of speech. Whenever your conscience is clear, you can speak the truth in love. And without dying to your flesh, there's no sanctification. And the Bible says that without sanctification, no man, or without holiness, no man will see God. So the admonition is, therefore, since Christ suffered in the flesh, so you suffer in the flesh, for in suffering, sin loses its power over you. And so what I want you to do is stand up, and I want you to think, what is my thing? The thing that defeats me, the thing that depresses me, the thing that I know I need to quit doing. And I want to share with you, I'm going to share this. If your mother or father, whatever a parent excuses in moderation, the children will abuse in excess. If, how can I say this? Or bring it back. For example, if my daddy's a pervert, and I struggle with perversion, or my mother's a pervert, and I struggle with perversion, the lie is, because parents model for me a picture of what God's like, the lie is, a lot of times people can't get delivered because the lie is God approves because Daddy approved. If Daddy was into pornography, and you're trying to break that addiction, one thing you have to do is renounce the lie that God approves, because Daddy approved. God doesn't necessarily approve. You understand what I'm saying? So, Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus to show me the things in my life that I need to sacrifice to you to be a living sacrifice. Lord, I ask for the truth that sets me free. Lord, I want to give my life to you as a living sacrifice. When God told Abraham to go up the mountain and take his only son and kill him, that was a sacrifice. So today we have to take our food, our children, our husbands, our wives, our marriages, our jobs, our possessions up the mountain and put a knife to it. And stop doing the things we've been doing and sacrificing to our flesh rather than to God. So, Lord, show me what I need to repent of today. What I need to take up the mountain. So it'll be forever over. And then just deal with whatever the Lord shows you. Make an altar to the Lord and give Him those things. And then when you're through, sit down and then we'll do deliverance. Break the power of fear of letting go. You know, the devil tells you if you let go of those things, everything's going to crash in. That's a lie. How many of you know I'm not condemning anybody? I hope y'all know that. God, I just bless them with your grace, the grace of God to do the will of God. In Jesus' name. Lord, we love you with our whole heart. Because we love you with our whole heart, we want to please you. And we've received a perverted image of you, God. So, Lord, forgive me for everything that you've shown me. Lord, I take all of this stuff up the mountain, everything you've shown me, and give it to you. And I present my body to you, Lord, as a living sacrifice. Thank you. Thank you and praise you, Lord. Forgive me for not denying myself and taking up my cross and following you. Pray with me. Forgive me for not being willing to give up my life. I never liked to suffer. I was sure to share this while ago. When I grew up, I didn't have to suffer. So I'm having to learn to suffer when I'm 72 years old. I have to learn to suffer. I never liked the thought of suffering, ever. Lord, we give you our idols of comfort, too. In Jesus' name. Lord, forgive me for not presenting my body to you as a living sacrifice. I now present my body to you as a living sacrifice. Lord, I choose to love versus hate. I choose, Lord, to die daily and buffet my body and make it my slave. I choose to put off the old man and put on the new. To put aside anger, wrath, perversion, idolatry, sexual immorality, alcohol, drugs. In Jesus' name. Food. God, I choose to discipline myself. I choose to forgive every person that's hurt me. I choose to speak up rather than cower in fear. I choose to shut up rather than speak up until you tell me to speak. I choose to let go. I give you my children, my houses, my land, my marriage, my home, my businesses, my finances, my job, everything I have, Lord. I choose to follow you. Forgive me that my sacrifices have been in the past an abomination to you. I've been like Cain, offering you what I want to offer you. Going through the motions, saying, oh, I love Jesus, and there's been no obedience. I ask you to forgive me, Lord. Lord, I thank you for the blood of Jesus. I choose not to sacrifice to false gods anymore. I choose to live a fasted life. And Lord, I thank you for your great mercy. You know my heart, and I thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, I break soul ties with everything I have given to you, Lord. I call back every person I've given to you. I call back my soul and spirit from them. I send back their souls and spirits to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ. Now, in the name of Jesus, I break addictions. I come against fear, doubt, unbelief, worry, anxiety, tension, stress, rebellion. I command you to go in Jesus' name. Fear of letting go, I command you to go. I come against pornography. I come against homosexuality. I come against adultery, fornication, addictions, alcohol, drug addictions, prescription drug addictions. I come against addictions to doctors. I come against addictions for attention. I come against, in the name of Jesus, every spirit that has held them back from doing the will of God, in Jesus' name. Have to go. Every demon that came in through those idols, you have to go in Jesus' name. We say to our idols, be gone in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Will you feel a release? Lift your hands and sing with me. I bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. I bring a sacrifice of praise unto the house of the Lord. And I offer up to you a sacrifice is a thanksgiving. And I offer up to you a sacrifice is of joy. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes, I will trust you and obey. When your Spirit says to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. Recently I heard somebody send me a little praise album, and it's got a little short song on it, and I want to sing it, and then we'll sing it. I can't live without you. I can't walk this road alone. In my heart I need you. Holy One, come take my hand. I can't live without you. I can't walk this road alone. In my heart I need you. Holy One, come take my hand. And Lord, I give you my hands. I give you my life. I surrender, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Is it dinner time? Oh, yes, God, 30 minutes. I'm not ready to eat. I'm not even hungry, and I've eaten very little today. Thank you, Lord. That's a miracle. I'm telling you, that's a miracle. I've had an orange and, huh? Lord, we bless the food. We bless us not to be gluttonous. We bless us to eat to live and not live to eat. This is the prayer I pray for me. Lord, I pray that the law of your lips, we will love the law of your lips more than our necessary food, drugs, alcohol, sex, perversion, and whatever. We'll love you the most, Lord, the law of your lips, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.